literally, God has a GPS on you, and you can look at this GPS, His Word, and He'll lead you through that. And God wants to position you. And I want to show you today that He positioned Mary and Joseph throughout their whole relationship. He positioned them to go to Bethlehem to be registered, and then positioned them to be out in a manger. You think God wants to take our lives and position us. I did a little tweet the other day on Twitter, and I made a mention like this, stating that too many people in the church are seeking position instead of letting God position them. It's better to be God-positioned than to be seeking position. It really is. Because most people that seek position, when they get their position, they're either very discomforted or they're confused. But when God puts you in a position, you're comfortable, you have peace, and you know that you're there. The Bible even declares that your gift makes room for yourself, you know, here in a church or anywhere. Your gift will make room for itself. So in Psalm 37:23, it says, "The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in Him." The Lord makes a peace in your heart. He makes firm wherever you place your feet. It's not going to be like Jello, wiggly, and you're nervous you're going to fall off, but it's going to be something that's going to work for your life, and because you've been following the steps of the Lord through the Word, you've been following Him. And in Psalm 37:23, I want you to read this. It comes out of the Message, and I like the way it said it. It said, "Stalwart walks in step with God. His path blazed by God. He's happy. If he stumbles, he is not down for long, for God has a grip on his hand." You see, God never lets go of us. He always watches over us. He's always caring for us. And sometimes when we fall, and you know, we do fall, we make mistakes. And if you haven't ever made a mistake, you will. But literally, you make mistakes. We all make mistakes. But God never leaves us there in the mud. He always picks us up. He always carries us forward. He loves us and He cares for us. And the same thing, when Joseph and Mary heard about that Mary was going to give birth, and there was all this confusion for a moment, and Mary accepted this from the Lord, and Joseph accepted this from a dream that came. It's okay, don't worry, this is a God thing. And then they go and visit, you know, to see Elizabeth, and there's this beautiful relationship there where the Holy Spirit gets involved, and there's a time spent together. And then in Luke 2, we find that where there is a time for them to go to Bethlehem and to be registered, because the Bible is very clear that the lineage that Joseph had was the lineage of David. It was really important that he went there and registered to keep this lineage going. And so God was consistently positioning them. And sometimes we don't understand that. And I really want to speak into your heart today about allowing God to position you, to trust God where He places you. Have you ever been to a place and you wonder, what am I doing here? What's going on here? This isn't maybe where I prayed to be. But maybe God has you in a place for you to grow, for you to be able to listen and to learn and to find out just what's going on in my life or in my heart. It could be in a relationship. It could be in an employment. It could be at your church. It could be anywhere that God is positioning you. And I would rather stand where God positioned than to try to position myself and all of a sudden find failure or find rejection or find anguish or anxiety and not have that peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Are you hearing me today? And you know, those two, Joseph and Mary, they had peace. They had peace when they went to Bethlehem. And they had peace when they found that there was no room for them in the inn. There wasn't frustration. We don't read there's frustration in the Word. There wasn't this moment of, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? They trusted God. And I really believe if people would learn to trust God in such a way that no matter where He positions you, it's going to be all right. You know, there are people in ministry that say, oh, I don't want to do that ministry because it's, you know, it's below me. That's not God. That's man and the arrogance of man and wanting that only to be seen and uplifted. The Bible's very clear that we should walk humbly before the Lord, that we should pray and seek His face and understand who He is. So we find this so clearly and how that when... You know, what I thought was unique when you study the birth of Christ, the three wise men or the three kings, however you want to say, some people say kings, some people say wise men, they followed a star. That was God's GPS for them. That was God showing them where to find Jesus. And sometimes we don't recognize that God's positioning service is ready for us at all times. Have you ever asked the question, where should I go now? Or I heard about something, how do I get there? And we pray and we don't understand. Listen, you need to follow God's positioning service. You need to be able to look into His Word and find out what He's saying. They followed this star and found Jesus out in the middle where the manger was. And they were able to see Him and bring gifts to Him of frankincense and myrrh and gold, and they were able to bless Him and witness this child that is the Savior, our Savior, whom we are celebrating today and tomorrow, who we have looked forward to celebrating all month. And I know people have been out spending money. They've been everywhere. You know, I was out the other day just trying to get all the meal together and everything that we're going to be having tomorrow and getting it all together, and the lines were huge. You know, I pulled into the parking lot at Costco and I told my granddaughters, I said, this is going to be the craziest place that you'll ever be in today. You know, it was just like you came into a block of cars and you hoped there was a parking space. Went over to get gas after that at the Costco gas station. And I was hoping that I could just get in there. But no, there was a line of cars, everybody waiting. And you know, and the other day was the funniest thing. And even in a busy time, my wife and I are getting gas at Costco. And we're over here at the Central Avenue Costco. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but I've got to share this because I felt like I was out of position all of a sudden. We're in there getting gas, and we're in this long line. Everybody's there, and all of a sudden, we see this lady filling her tank, and she took out a Swifter. Oh. And she spent the next 5 to 10 minutes Swifting her car. And I told my wife, I have never seen anything like this in my life. She's just swifted away, you know, and everything swifted away. And I'm thinking, I am glad I'm not behind her because I may have yelled out the window, hey, you can do that in a parking space. We need gas. But thank God, I don't know, the person behind her was really cool, didn't say a word. And I thought, well, maybe this is normal. No, it's not normal. And sometimes we find ourselves in a position to where we have to witness things and we have to learn what we can gain from that. And I gained a lesson of patience, you know, that I am not going to say anything. You know, this is kind of really crazy. But everywhere we went, it's been busy. Everywhere. People waiting in line for parking and all this stuff. But, you know, back when Jesus was born, there wasn't all that. But there was a lot of people coming into Bethlehem. So they did not find a place in that inn. They did not have the comfort of a motel or a hotel or an inn to be able to stay in. She was about to give birth. God was positioning her to give birth for all the world to know that the Savior has been born. The shepherds that night were out in the fields. They were positioned to witness the angels giving witness that Jesus was just born. And literally they said, "Let's go see this." You know, we have to understand, we need to hear the voice of God in our life, because oftentimes He speaks to us to where we can learn from Him and learn from the world and word and where He wants us to go and what He wants us to do, who He wants us to speak to. There's been too many times I've heard testimony of people saying, "I'm just not going to do that. That's not me. I'm not going to do that." You know, you need to hear God's voice, and you need to get witness in the Word that what God is saying to you and what how He wants to bless you. You may think, well, is there people in the Bible that are there that maybe you can share a little bit on that? Is there somebody in the Bible we can kind of get a hold of to understand this? Is there other people in the Bible that had an encounter with God? Each and every one of us. Do you realize that every one of us every day need to have an encounter with God? We need to engage God. We need to embrace God. We need to look into the Word and understand that God wants to encounter us and we want to encounter God. You know, the best thing you can do every day is have an encounter with God, not running from God. Let me tell you, if you've made a mistake, which I referred to just a little while ago, if you have done something that has hurt you or where you feel you have failed God, let me tell you something. Even when we have failed God, you notice I use the word we, even when we have failed God, God has our hand. He never lets us go. Jesus even said that we are in the hollow of His hand, that no man can pick up out of God's hand. We are surrounded by the love of God, and He's there, and we have this beauty of the Lord in our life. But let's look at somebody that was in the Old Testament. I'm going to share a few little stories here that I think that is very trusting and very embracing and very encountering to our spirit. Ruth, the daughter-in-law of Naomi. They all lost their husbands. She lost her husband. She said, go back to your country. Now listen to this. Go back to your country. And you'll see this in Ruth chapter 1 verses 15 through 19. Go back to your country. Because if you stay with me, and I remarry, and I give birth to new sons, you will be old by the time they are able to be married. So go back, find a husband. Don't follow me. The others said, okay, we'll go. They understood. I mean, it's logical to me. It was very kind of Naomi to do that. Very kind. Send them back home to their country, their land. She was returning to where she was from. But Ruth said, listen, I'm not going back. I'm going to follow you. She said, no, no, no. She said, no, I'm going to follow you. Your God will be my God from now on. In other words, Ruth, now listen, Ruth was positioned by God because Ruth was the last lineage of Jesus Christ at that point in history. And she was there. And what happened was that if she did not go and there was not this coupling with Boaz, there would not have been this lineage of Christ, the lineage of David continuing on. You see, that's how important you and I are to God. He has something for us to do. And she followed Naomi. And if you study the whole book of Ruth, everything was set on positions. Where she gleaned the field. Where she rested that night. Everything was done by God to position, to make sure that Jesus Christ would be upon this earth through the right lineage. Without that, it wouldn't have happened. So that was a beautiful story, and we hear this, and I just love the fact that Ruth made that continuous statement. She even said, I'll die where you die. I'm going to your country. I'm committed to being positioned by God. I'm committed to be following your God. My God may be different, but from now on, my God is going to be your God. And your God is going to be my God. In other words, she was saying that. I am literally going to change gods. I'm coming to the right God. You know, and I think when we tell people about Jesus Christ, we are telling them this: you're serving the wrong God in this world. You're bowing to things in this world that don't exist, that do not have an eternal value to it. You're serving things that aren't there. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Tell your God you're leaving and follow the God who created the heavens and the earth. Follow the God that gave us his son. Unto us a child is born. Praise God that we have that Savior in our life and that place in our heart that we know that we're serving the right God. Let me ask you a question before I go any further. Do you feel positioned by God in your life? Do you feel out of position? Are you seeking position where you're not getting anywhere? Let me tell you something. Give your whole self to God and let the Lord Jesus Christ lead you into the position that he wants you to have, where you will be best used by God in this world that we live. We want to be best used by him. We want to serve him. We want to walk humbly before him. We want to love. We want to do justice, and we want to love kindness. We want to be where God wants us to be. We want to share God's heart wherever we are. How about Esther? Here's Esther, a young teenage girl, and Mordecai. All this was going on, and this kingdom was a mess. This was all about vanity and beauty. If you study the book of Esther, everybody had to be handsome, everybody had to be beautiful, and everybody had to know how to sow and weave deception. Oh yeah, that was it. And everybody had to bow to a king. And Esther was told, go do this to save the Jewish people. She was being positioned by God. And Mordecai even said to her, maybe you have been born just for this time. Praise God. You see, even though it may be something small that I'm asking you to do, maybe this is why you were born. You see, when you're positioned by God, you're satisfied. If it's something small, or if it's something large, if it's something great, you are satisfied because you're serving the Lord God. I think that's powerful when you think about that. Here's a nation that was about to be wiped out, and Esther brought that peace, revealed what was wrong. She was born for a time such as this. I believe that you and I are born in a time right now that is the greatest time in the history of the world. I believe we're born in a time where evil seems to be reigning and more powerful than ever before. But I believe God is positioning people, getting them to a place where they can share something about Jesus Christ, just like Joseph and Mary. They were being positioned. Mary was positioned the day she heard that the Holy Spirit was going to overcome her and the Jesus Christ was going to come from her womb. Joseph was being positioned when the angel appeared to him in a dream and said, hey, this is no joke, man. This is real. You need to make sure you stay with her because she does not need to be alone during this period. You need to be with her. You need to marry her. This is the thing. This is God. Hang in there. You may not understand it. It had ever happened to you in your life where all of a sudden you may not understand it, but you got something in your spirit say, hang on. This is God. Keep going. It's going to be all right. And you're trying to pull away, run the other way. You're calling everybody saying, wow, what should I do? How should I handle this? I don't know if this is God or not because this is driving crazy, or he's driving me crazy, or she's driving me. I don't know if it's God or not, but I need to know what to do. But God keeps giving you this peace in your heart. Hang in there. This is me leading you and positioning you for the days ahead of your destiny are going to be great, powerful. There are going to be a time of performance of great love and mercy. There's going to be a time of great grace and great faith and great prosperity coming into your life. Walk with me. That's what God is saying. Walk with me as I position you. Walk with me. Now here's Paul. If you study the Bible, everybody's been positioned. Abraham all the way through. Noah. Everyone is positioned by God to bring forth something great. You and I, those watching this, are positioned by God to do something great. Well, I don't know if I could do it. I don't know. I've just, this history of mine, this whole this situation, and sometimes I feel like I look in the mirror thinking, who are you? What's going on? There is a time in our life to where we have to commit to God, saying, God, wherever, whenever, I'm ready. Yes. Wherever you want me to go, whenever you want me to go, I am ready. I am ready to do what you want me to do. I'm ready to be positioned by you. I'm ready to do this. But listen, here's Paul now. Paul hated the people who were called the way. That's what Christians were called before they became known as Christians. The way. Paul would take them and put them in prison. He was there when Stephen was murdered, stoned. Stephen's clothes were at Paul's feet, and he sat there and watched the stones hit him. He saw Stephen say, "Forgive them. Forgive them, God." He saw all this, and he's on his way now to get more. He's on his way to Damascus to destroy, and all of a sudden, Jesus steps in the picture and says, "What are you doing? This is who I want you to be. I'm positioning you now immediately from this man that has killed, this man that has lied, this man that has cheated, this man that has caught up the people of the way and put them in prison. All of a sudden, I'm meeting you on a road and I'm saying, I forgive you. I want you to become this and I want you to follow me." And he's scratching his head and he can't even see now. He's blind because God did not want him to see the way he was going. He wanted him to trust the way God was leading him. Amen. And from there, Paul ends up writing 13 books in the New Testament. He writes all these various things going on. He's a great apostle. He's writing in prison. God positions him in prison and he continues to serve the Lord. You know, sometimes I wonder in this modern day, we want everything so comfortable. We want everything so beautiful. We want it to be awesome. We want everything to be, oh, just great. I just want everybody to, when I come their way, they go, "Oh, look who's coming." Paul was in prison. Mary was in a barn, a manger where animals ate. She was kind of hanging out there. You know, there was some baaing and some mooing going on. And she's giving birth. There's no midwife. There's no doctor. It's just Joseph, the animals, and Mary. But guess who else was present? God. God the Father. This was his. He's not going to miss his son's birth. You know, every man I know wants to be at his wife's birth. His wife's birth, the first baby born. His wife giving birth, to see that. Oh, man. Send me a video if you can't be there. Let me know what happened. I'm overseas. I'm in the Army or I'm in the Navy. I'm in the Marines. I'm at a place I can't come, but I want to see that baby. Hold him up or her up that I can see a picture. Let me tell you something. God was there. He was there And Paul was then repositioned. And, you know, Ananias was asked to go and pray for him. And he questioned God. He said, you know, this is Paul. I am not getting near that guy. His reputation is horrible. Ananias went and prayed. And Paul was filled with the Holy Ghost. And the blinders came off his eyes. You see, sometimes God wants to position you in a place to where you can be anointed by someone. You can be anointed and you can be filled with God's Holy Spirit. And you can be refilled again and overflow with the love and the power of God. He went out and he began to preach the gospel, and people were afraid of him and they came to destroy him. So you may not be recognized or loved at first. And they dropped him down off the window in a basket so he can get out of town. But let me tell you, he said this at the last, I have fought the good fight of faith. I've continued on in my ministry. Let me tell you something right now, and I mean this from my heart. God knows what he's doing in your life. He knows what he's doing in the church's life. He knows exactly where America is today in her condition. But I'm going to tell you, God's got a plan. God has positioned people. God has positioned this nation. God has positioned people throughout this world. We're not losing at the end.
Amen.
We're not. We're winning at the end. We may look like we're losing here and there, but I'm going to tell you right now, victory belongs to Jesus Christ. Victory belongs to us. And what we have right now is the power and the anointing of the Lord. Everybody, now listen to this. It's very important you hear this. Everybody that God positions, he has you there to birth something great. Everybody that gets positioned by God, he has you there to birth something great. The enemy begins to lie to you and say, you'll never be that person. You'll never be able to do this again. You'll never be able to stand there again. You cannot do this. You can't do this. You can't do that. Let me tell you something. If Ruth can go ahead and surrender her God to follow Naomi and say, your God will be my God now, and where you die, I will die. That's the power of it. That's the confession of it. That's the belief that I'm going to trust in your God. If Esther can be afraid as a teenager, as beautiful as she was, to go before this king, that literally if he didn't like her, she would be dead. No question. The Persian and the Medes, it's written. It's done. But she went. Because she believed she was born for such a time as that. If Paul could be changed by a visitation of the Lord, and that's what happens when you meet Jesus at an altar or at your home or wherever you met the Lord Jesus Christ and you had a real visitation from him, you realize, and I feel like preaching just a moment, so I feel this so deeply, you had a real touch by Jesus Christ and he was able to switch you around. For what you were, he made you something new. For what you thought you were, he brought you into what he wanted you to be. What hopes you thought you had, he changed your hopes that they would be good hopes and good dreams and they would prosper other people and help other people. Thousands upon thousands were saved through Paul's ministry. Thousands. God used a man that trusted and believed in him. God used a man that trusted that he would obey him. So you see, I think you have to understand something. Sometimes people think, God can't trust me. Let God do the thinking, okay? God sees in you something that you may not see. And what he wants you to do is recognize who you are in him. And that the destiny that he has given you, that where you're able to move forward in God and see the beauty of what he has for you. Everybody that literally has an encounter with God and he puts them and he positions them, you are going to birth something. You're going to birth something that's going to help someone else. You're going to birth something that's going to be powerful and alive, and it's going to be beautiful. And the enemy may come again and say, you can't do this. And all you have to do is stand up and say, yes, I can. Yes, I can. I can do this. Moses, when he was called by God, he argued with God's 11 complaints. And I'm not going to go through the complaints. It would take a long time for me to do that. But literally 11 complaints. And every time he complained, God had an answer, yes. The greatest one, I thought, was he said, God, I can't speak. I stutter. I don't know how to do this. He said, okay, you go, be my representative. You're the man in charge, and I'll let Aaron speak for you. I mean, God had an answer for everything. And Moses went forth and led all of Israel out of bondage across a Red Sea. When it didn't look like they were going to make it, God said, lift up your staff. In other words, I have positioned you here in a place that's impossible. That everyone will see this, that if you lift up the name of Jesus Christ, if you lift up the anointing of God, if you lift up of you your identity, I will spread waters before you. I will give you dry ground to walk on. I will have you lead people into the desert. I will have you there to be a representative of who I am.
Amen.
God's ready to give birth to people. He's ready to bless people. Proverbs 16 and 9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Amen. I love that because it's so important that we see that God's GPS isn't run by AT&T. Okay? It's powered by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't cost anything. It's free. Direct access 24 hours a day. No computer or device needed. One password for all eternity. The password is Jesus. For all adult, teen, or child, the fastest high-speed connection is prayer. I can connect to that. I mean, you know, there's so many times that people say they can do this, but they get in the way. God never, ever gets in our way. He leads us along the way. You see, you're special. God wants you to be a success. God wants you to come up from where you think the miry clay is. He's going to lift you out of that. He's going to position you on a rock, a solid foundation of His Word. He's going to cleanse you by the blood of Jesus Christ. He's going to forgive you. He's going to acknowledge you. And He's going to establish your goings. And He's going to put a new song in your heart. And that song is praise the Lord, and others will see it and fear God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. God wants to position His church in the hour that we live, where the great spiritual awakening is going to come across America and throughout this world. You think God can ever use me? Yes, I do. If God can use me, He can use anyone. Literally, He can bless you and He can keep you and He can be there in your life no matter what you're going through. You have to have faith. You see, I think it's very important that there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. We all have plans. Every one of us, we do. We have plans. But I like what it says in Psalm 119, 105. God's positioning service is there right on our path. Right there. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. So no matter what, I'm never in darkness when I'm walking with God. Do you feel in darkness today? Let His light shine on your path, because that's what He wants to do. He wants to bless you. He wants you to realize that He has positioned you for a reason. And that positioning brings forth a birthing, and that birthing brings forth a praise unto God. That birthing brings forth something that is so powerful that others will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. How about using God's GPS, his positioning, God's positioning service. I want everybody, when you look at your GPS on the way home today, you're never going to think about that GPS the same now. You know, you type in a number or you have a phone and you speak into it and you say, give me my directions from this place to that place. The other day, and I'm closing with this testimony. The other day, I was coming back from Santa Rosa, California, to where we took up a lot of turkeys to families that were in need. 58 of them, actually. We had 89, but we gave them away already, and then we brought the rest up to Santa Rosa. We helped 4 families that did not have a Christmas at all. We were able to give them money that they had a Christmas. I got a card and I began to weep when I read the card, how a mother, a single mom with an adopted child and 2 other children from her, were able to have Christmas this year. They didn't even know who I am or what the foundation's name is at all. It was just dear gift giver. You see, I don't like my name out there. I don't like to do that. I'm just not that guy. But on the way home, I knew how to get home from Santa Rosa. But I know when you're coming out of Santa Rosa, you're coming down 101. You have an opportunity to go back through Oakland or back through San Francisco. You have an opportunity to wrestle with that corridor on 80 before you get on 880 South. Or you can go down 19th Avenue and you can struggle with that going across the Golden Gate Bridge. You know, all this. So I literally got a GPS going. You know, and that GPS took me a way that I never knew existed. Instead of taking 19th, I took 25th. 25th took me to Gary, and from 25th, I went over there. At Gary, I went to Fulton. Fulton, I went down to the Great Highway. And from the Great Highway, I followed 280 down, or 1 to 280 south. And then all of a sudden, it wanted me to get off at Palo Alto, and I argued with that GPS system. I said, I know where I'm driving. What are you talking to me about this now? Hey, come on now. My name's Dennis Adams, and I happen to know where I am. My son was worked at Stanford for years. So don't tell me what I know. I know what I'm doing. So I said to myself, I had a sneaky feeling in my heart, and I'm going to follow this. And I got off there at Palo Alto, and I went west on this road, and I followed it around, came around, and went up on Skyline a little bit here, and then all of a sudden it said to me, go up Old La Honda Road. I'm driving up this beautiful road. I began to thank God for the beauty. He took me home. I got home faster by his way than going with the way I thought was right. Now, you get that spiritually? Sometimes we think we can do it better than God. And sometimes his GPS is saying, go here. Well, I know this. I don't have to go there. Let me tell you something. No one knows you better than God. And I went up this, and I got up there, and I got up on the Skyline, up on top on 35. I took a left. It said 12 miles to Big Basin Way, and I knew Highway 9 was right there, and another 8 miles, and I was home into Boulder Creek. And I told my wife, we've got to take this highway. You've got to see this way that I was shown. It was really nice and beautiful. We've got to go this way. It was beautiful. I would have never known this way. I would have never known that there was another way if it wasn't for that GPS. How much better was God's GPS in our lives? We would never know unless we would follow it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you right now for your mercy and